thankful to be able to be your speaker tonight, and it's my prayer that the things that we have to study tonight will be beneficial and edifying to us all as Christians. As we have up on the board, my plan is to do a study of the book of Romans. So the Lord willing, we'll begin a series of lessons this afternoon on this book, this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome. So this letter was written to early Christians who lived and worshipped in Rome, Italy. For our first lesson tonight, we'll give a simple introduction to this letter and what it's about. So first, we'd like to notice the author of this letter. I think we probably all know, but according to the first chapter and first verse of this letter, it was composed by the Apostle Paul. He starts in chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God." The place of writing is it's believed to have been written while Paul was in Corinth, in the land of Achaia, which is south of Macedonia. This is evident from the greetings that we can find in the last chapter of this letter, one of a Christian brother by the name of Gaius, in Romans 16, verse 23. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, if it's a little bit different from the Pew Bibles, but should be very close. Romans 16, verse 23, "Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you." And the reason why we think that Paul was in Corinth at this time is because we know this Gaius seemed to have lived in Corinth. When Paul wrote to 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul said, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius." Also, there was another Christian brother by the name of Erastus who also sent his greetings with this letter to the Romans that Paul wrote. Romans chapter 16, the last part of verse 23, "Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you." And from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, we know that Erastus was one who settled down in Corinth. "Erastus stayed in Corinth," Paul wrote to Timothy. "Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick." And finally, we read about a Christian sister, Phoebe or Phoebe, who apparently accompanied this letter to Rome. She was from the church at Centuria, which was a suburb of Corinth. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also." And so we have Paul as the author, and we believe probably from Corinth was where Paul was at the time when he wrote this letter, by the evidence that we have. Now, the time of writing, whenever you try to, of course, get the time that a letter was written that nearly 2,000 years ago, when we don't have the authoritative copies nowadays, you're going to be able to just get as close as you can, and it's not going to be exact. This, however, we can see that there are some indicators of kind of when in the church's history, the beginning church, the history of it, that this letter might have been written. We find that it was probably written during Paul's his third and last missionary journey. In Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, we can read this by our brother Luke. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Now when it says Greece here, back then, Greece was not the whole peninsula that we have today. Greece was the bottom part, also called Achaia, and then Macedonia was above that. So what we have as Greece today was sort of separated into two major parts back then. And Achaia is where Corinth was. So this was just prior to Paul's arrival in Jerusalem with the collection for the needy saints. This was something that Paul had wanted to do, as we find this to be his objective in Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 26, when he said, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." Also in Acts chapter 20, verse 16, this also references his desire to go to Jerusalem at this time. "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." So you had Greece, then you had the portions of Asia, and then further down you had Jerusalem. So he didn't want to stop in Asia. He wanted to go directly from the Grecian peninsula all the way to Jerusalem. And then also later in Acts chapter 24, verse 17, Paul was recounting what had happened. He recounted this when he was brought to plead his case before Felix in Caesarea after he'd been arrested and sent there, and he'd appealed to Caesar eventually. "Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation." So this is all Paul talking about, wanting to go to Jerusalem and to give the offerings from the brethren in the Grecian peninsula to the brethren in Jerusalem. So we find that around 57 or 58 AD seems to be when this letter could have been written. That being, you know, about approximately 27 to 30 years after the church was established. Now we'll look at the background of the church at Rome and what we have about that in the scriptures. And to be honest, nothing is revealed in the New Testament as to the exact start of the church in Rome. However, we can find some information regarding Rome and those associated with it. First, it's possible that the visitors to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that Tom talked about this morning, following the Lord's ascension, could have been among the 3,000 who were saved and later took the gospel back with them to Rome, which was their home. Luke mentions that this could have been possible in Acts chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, Acts chapter 2 and verse 10, where Luke was listing people who had come to Pentecost, Jews and proselytes. He said people from Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. We also find that it could have been among those who were dispersed following Stephen's death. There were some that went to Rome, who could have went to Rome and preached the gospel there. In Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, Now Saul was consenting to his death. So this is after Stephen's been put to death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. As a side note, this to me is a pretty awesome passage in that what could have been the downfall of Christianity ended up being its spread. And so something as bad as the death of one of the pillars of the early church, God turned into something where the word was preached everywhere. Things to keep in mind sometimes. So these could have been instances where Christians, early Christians, in fact, could have been spread to Rome and gone there and preached the gospel. But other than that, we don't have any instance of where the church there was actually established. Now, the first we read of Christians from Rome is possibly that of Aquila and Priscilla, who, along with all the Jews, were expelled from Rome by Claudius Caesar and were found by Paul at Corinth during his second journey. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, we find that Luke wrote, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them." And so Paul met up with this brother and sister in Christ in Corinth, and they were from Rome. Later we read of these two, this husband and wife duo, if you would, after traveling with Paul to Ephesus and then staying and working with the church there after Paul went on. In Acts chapter 18 and verses 18 and 19, "So Paul still remained a good while when he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there," that is Aquila and Priscilla, "but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." And so he met them in Corinth, and they traveled over into the Asia Minor area and went to Ephesus, and then Paul went on and they stayed there. Then, while they are there, we read of their meeting with Apollos in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, where they were. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and been fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." When Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians from Ephesus, we believe, they had a congregation in their house there, as a matter of fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. Paul wrote, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." And finally, we find them, Aquila and Priscilla, back at Rome and hosting a church in their house there. In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 5, at the end of Paul's letter to Rome, to the Romans, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So it's interesting that we see this husband and wife duo who essentially, because of a persecution in Rome, came to Corinth. Paul met them there, and it seems that they became friends. I believe that they had the same trade as with tent making. And then they went with Paul over to Ephesus. Paul went on, and this husband and wife from Rome eventually established a congregation in their home in Ephesus. And then, eventually, we find them again with Paul in Corinth as he's writing this letter to Rome. And they have a church in their house there in Corinth as well. So it seems like, at least with these two Christians, Christianity was strong among those Roman Christians. From the greetings given by Paul in chapter 16 of the Roman letter, it appears that there were several churches actually in Rome meeting in various homes. Romans chapter 16, and I think I misspoke, I believe Aquila and Priscilla were back in Rome at that time. That's why he was saying, greet them, the churches in their house. Romans 16, verses 14 through 15. We find, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. So Paul's sending greetings to these Christians and the Christians who are with them. And then in the next verse, he says, greet Philologus, and Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. So it seems that, you know, if we take it this way, there could have been at least three congregations of Christians in Rome at this time when Paul's writing. The names of the individuals would suggest that the Christians were primarily Gentiles and with a smaller number of Jews. The reputation of the Christians in Rome was widespread. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, we can read about their faith. Paul wrote, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, we can read about their obedience to the gospel and to the word. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So for this reason, Paul tells us that he had long wanted to see them. He had the goal of sharing in their mutual edification, sharing in that faith, sharing in that obedience with them. In Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, he said, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And then he says that he was actually going to wanted to visit them, but his ultimate goal was to go on to Spain, further into Europe. In Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 24, he said, for this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts where he was in Corinth, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. And so this gives us a little bit of a background on how possibly the congregation could have been established in Rome, or the different congregations there. Background on some brothers and sisters who came from Rome and were part of preaching the gospel in the early church and establishing congregations with Paul. And also, Paul's reasoning of why he wanted to visit Rome, to share in their edification, to share in their building up in Christ, and also to go further into Europe, on into Spain. The main purpose of Paul's writing, we believe, one, he had for some time planned to go to Rome and preach the gospel there. In Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, he said, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." And again, as we said before, to go on to Spain. And he still had these intentions. In Romans chapter 15, verses 28 through 29, he wrote, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." So he mentions this a few times. "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." At this time, there was, of course, a spreading of the Judaizing teachers in the early church. And this had disrupted churches in Antioch and Corinth, where Paul was at this time, and Galatia, the churches in Galatia. And so it was likely also to make its way to Rome. To prevent this and to assure that his visit to Rome would be a pleasant one, he wrote in Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 33, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer, prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." So we find that Paul writes to set straight the design and nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In doing so, he demonstrates how the gospel of Christ fulfills what is lacking in both heathenism and Judaism, thereby effectively replacing them as religious systems. Such a letter would arm the church in Rome against those who would pervert the gospel or suggest that it was inadequate by itself and that perhaps they had to incorporate other things, old or even new. The theme of the letter, I believe, comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Where Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In these two verses, Paul states his confidence in the gospel and the reasons for it. And the bulk of his letter is devoted to explaining why and how the gospel of Christ is God's power to save those who believe. And so as we go on to study this letter to the Roman brethren there, let's keep in mind that Paul is talking about the gospel. Paul is talking about it in reference to both heathenism, that is, those who take what they believe and their faith and everything like that from nature and what their conscience is telling them to do, no matter how it's been trained. And then also Paul is going to talk to them about how the gospel also is better than Judaism and why those things of the old law are no longer a part of what someone needs to do to be saved. And so The final thing that Paul is going to talk about is how this gospel not only saves you from heathenism and Judaism, but also how it transforms your life. And that's what Paul will talk about from chapter 12 on. And so I hope that as we study these chapters, that we'll be able to see things that we can apply to our life, things that will help us also to discuss. You know, maybe if we're talking to someone who whose belief or whose world system comes under what we might term as heathenism, or whose belief or world system may come under something that's similar to Judaism. And then how the gospel saves us and transforms our lives. This is all we have tonight. And so if you are subject to the gospel call tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.